In response to the question regarding the resources for victim assistance, our organisation, the Land Mining and Cluster Munition Monitor, we do monitor mine action funding globally, and the share of mine action funding reported by donors to go to victim assistance. And in this situation, Mr. President, your question is very interesting, and I think it brings up, in a way, the crux of the issue regarding sustainability and victim assistance. Because donors themselves tend to report the amount of funding which is earmarked through mine action to organizations which provide assistance to victims as part of their work. And that is disaggregated on the country level. So we have a picture of that, and we can see certain trends, for example, in recent years, conflict-affected states, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, and of course, Syria, had seen a great increase in emergency victim assistance funding. Whereas in many countries, the amount of funding provided through international organizations, which is it's almost exclusively through international organizations that donor states report, has decreased significantly. We know what estimate the overall percentage of recorded mine action funding to victim assistance is, and it tends to waver about 5%. But probably what is just as important is what it does not capture, what cannot currently be recorded, and that is the funding that goes bilaterally, for example, through health development, through other mechanisms to do with disability rights. And when I say that that cannot be captured, I mean that that information is not available. It is certainly something that all states can be looking much more closely at. And it's actually in the Oslo Action Plan of the Mine Ban Treaty, a component, a specific component of an action. So it is something that is being paid attention to. But one thing to keep in mind, because of the situation with current conflicts, which do cause many, many victims of ERW, is that there is a desperate need for emergency funding, and even that cannot be captured. So one of the examples that you gave, Mr. President, of Afghanistan, I think is interesting, because in Afghanistan there is a significant amount of funding that goes to immediate victims of the conflict, which is in the form of redress and assistance as a kind of almost compensation, and that tends to be for things that are needed straight away. And at the same time, Afghanistan is working on improving its registry of persons with disabilities and conflict people who are disabled by conflict, so that they could better address in the long term those needs, while the rehabilitation system continues to need to be expanded, and the resources for that remain quite limited. And it's in these cases where, especially donors, I'm thinking about the Global Compact, the localization of funds, could be considering how to encourage greater and more sustainable multi-year funding, but also the possibility of encouraging states to find those sources as they go. I just will, having spoken a bit too long there, I just will briefly respond to the other question about child casualties. And it's certainly true that UNICEF is very involved in issues of explosive remnants of war and mines, and addressing the needs of child survivors, and also in the activities which would respond to the first question in terms of mine risk education. There is a group on explosive ordnance risk education formed in the last year, which UNICEF is part of. It's been working on these things for a long time and has actually been chairing already an international working group on risk education, as well as having published previously a specific report and guidance on children and minds and ERW, as well as some of their specific previous annual reporting. And some of those interventions can be very innovative and country and context specific. And one of the things that often comes to my mind is in Eritrea, though we do not hear very much from Eritrea, we know that a long-term program there has been having donkeys for children who are survivors to get to school. And it shows that innovation, once again, does not always have to be technical and technologically based as such, but appropriate to this situation. And UNICEF and other UN organizations are often amongst the first to be able to work on such programs in conjunction with the government in the country.